Our New Testament reading this morning is from Matthew, chapter 5, verses 21 through 37. Hear now the word of our Lord. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, "Do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment." But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, "Raca," is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, "You fool," will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and reconcile yourself to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge. And the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown in the prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, "Do not commit adultery." But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand has caused you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than your whole body to go to hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness causes her to become an adulteress. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, "Do not break your oath, but keep oaths you have made to the Lord." But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is God's footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. And this is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The scripture is kind of striking in that it starts off with, "You have heard." Jesus says over and over again, "You have heard." And then he follows it up, "But I tell you about murder." And then he talks about adultery, and he says, "You have heard, but I tell you." And then he goes to divorce and says, "It has been said, but I tell you." And he says, and again, "You have heard about oaths. But I tell you," and you can follow down and read the rest of the scripture, and you will see it. In addition to those four times, two more times when he talks about an eye for an eye, "You have heard, but I tell you," and love for enemies, "You have heard, love your enemy." And that's when he tells you to turn your other cheek. So what is Jesus doing here? He's saying, "You have heard." He's talking about He's talking about the law and what the scripture says. Even the Old Testament says, thou shalt not murder. Some have said that Jesus is adding to the law. He's taking it and ratcheting it up. He's saying that not only if you murder somebody have you broken the commandment and are condemned, but if you feel murder in your heart, if you condemn your brother in your heart. Therefore, many people have said that he's ratcheting it up. He's raising the standard. He's taking it way above the law, the Ten Commandments. He's changing it way beyond anything the Old Testament said. But you know, the way that we understand the Bible is by reading the Bible. The way we interpret Scripture is by reading Scripture. We have to look to Scripture to find the answer to that. If we turn back to, and you may want to turn back if you have a Bible, or there's pew Bibles there, to Deuteronomy in chapter 30. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, starting off with verse 11. Jesus says, now what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven, so that you will have to ask, who will ascend into heaven and get it and proclaim it to us so that we can obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea, that you may have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it. And you go down to verse 19, it says, this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, that you may love, that you, and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Moses. He says, choose life. Listen to his voice and stand fast in him. And when Jesus was asked, which of the commandments was the greatest? You remember what he said? He said the first commandment, to love God and no other God, and to love him with all of your heart and all of your mind and all of your strength. And that's what Jesus is telling us in our scripture today. He was telling it to these people because they had been taught by the Pharisees and the Sadducees that there were these laws that they could obey. They looked for ways to make the law suited to their lives instead of trying to suit their lives to God's law. In earlier scripture in Matthew, we read last week, it said that Jesus said he's not changing one dot or tittle. He's not changing anything in this law. He didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law. So no, Jesus is not ratcheting up the law and causing us to a higher standard. He is correcting our wrong understanding of the commandments. We think that simply if we do not murder, okay, I don't murder. I've never murdered anybody. I don't steal from people, so okay, I'm okay. Jesus said, no, that's not it. If you think it in your heart, because Jesus wants us to love God and no other God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our strength. Well, Jesus is telling us that the only way that we can keep the commandments is to not walk with God when we go to temple, not walk with God when we go to church on Sunday, not walk with God when we go to a Bible study or a prayer meeting, but to walk with God from the time we wake up in the morning till we go to bed at night. To dwell in His Word. To walk as though you know that God is looking over your shoulder all day long, every day, every moment. Because He is. He is always with you. God is with you in the happy times. God is with you in the sad times. God is with you in your grief. God is with you in your struggles and in your trouble. God is with you even when you turn your back on Him. You know, we have to understand that we don't change God. God changes us. And God has promised. He has promised you that He will be with you. And God does not break His promises. So He's with you even when you're not thinking of Him. Even when you're not dwelling in Him. God doesn't walk away from you. I walk away from God. And the only way that we can ever grasp this is to change our thinking about God. The only way we can live to the standard that Christ has called us to live is to change the way that we think about God. And God has given us great help in doing that. You know, in the Old Testament, in order to approach God, they had to go to the priest. They had to go to the temple. And only the priest was allowed to go into the inner sanctum. Only the priest was allowed to approach God. And that priest was elected among his peers and chosen for a time. And even he was only elected for 1 year at a time. So during one period of time was that priest allowed to go. And then they weren't allowed to go near God. And they would rotate through. But when Jesus Christ died for you and me upon the cross, when He shed His blood, when He took on our sins and the agony of our guilt upon Himself, the curtain to the temple was rent. It was torn. Because He was Emmanuel, God with us. And when the Holy Spirit descended at Pentecost, God truly was with us forever. And the thing about the Holy Spirit is, the Holy Spirit did not descend upon Israel. The Holy Spirit did not descend upon the temple. The Holy Spirit did not descend upon Tomah Presbyterian Church. The Holy Spirit descended upon God's people. Those who have come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Those who the Holy Spirit has beckoned. Those who the Holy Spirit has called. Those who the Holy Spirit has drawn in. And it's personal. It's not corporate. It's not community. It's not national. It's personal. So Jesus is telling you and me that we need to know the Holy Spirit personally. We have to listen to that small, still voice that speaks to us all day long, every day, from waking up to going to bed at night. And I can tell you, sometimes in the middle of the night. Jesus is telling us that in order to understand and obey his laws, we have to understand the spirit of the commandment, not the rule. He really meant that love one another as you love yourself was the second commandment. And he said in these two commandments, loving God and only God and loving one another as yourself, all of the prophets and the law is summed up in these two. So he did not add anything. He said he was not going to change one jot or one tittle. He was not going to add a word. He didn't. What he did was he opened the scripture. He opened the commandments. He opened our eyes so that we can see what the commandments have been about all along. It wasn't all the rules and regulations and stuff. And Jesus even flaunted those rules and regulations by leading his disciples through the grain field, don't you know? Don't you remember when they were accused of being sacrilegious because on the Sabbath they walked through the fields and pulled some grain off and ate it on the Sabbath, and the Pharisees said that was work and they shouldn't do that. Jesus said, that's not what the scripture's all about. It's what's in your heart. Are you living every day, all day, with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your strength with the Father as Jesus has commanded? Those of you who have children and grandchildren, we have many of each, come to realize, harshly, sadly, that they don't always talk the way, they don't always talk when they're away from you the way they do when they're with you. Their language is a little different when they're out of your sight. And don't you know that's true with grown children as well as young ones? But Jesus is calling us in this scripture to talk, to walk, to think as children of a living God, of the living God, whose Father is always with you through the Holy Spirit, who's with you day and night. We're never away from them. We're never away from the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We're never out of their sight and out of their hearing. And that's how he wants us to live, with that thought in mind. And it's not so that we're sitting there cowering in front of them. Not at all. It's freedom. It's so that we're rejoicing that we're not going through this life alone, that we're not carrying these burdens by ourselves, that we're not out there subject to the world's ways every moment of the day. Because not only is the Holy Spirit there to guide you, but the Holy Spirit is there to keep you, to support you, to comfort you. Jesus called him the Comforter. And there's so many of us who love the Lord, who know the Lord, but we never take the comfort that the Lord has to offer. We cling to our guilt. We cling to our regrets. We cling to our anger like they're old friends that we just can't deny, we can't give up. The Lord loves you. The Lord knows you. The Lord keeps you. The Lord comforts you. We need to learn to take that gift, to hand it off to his broad shoulders. Jesus said that my yoke is easy. but only when we're walking with Him. And we need to have such confidence in our Lord and Savior that we will give up that guilt, that we will give up that anger, that we will give up that thing that is keeping us from living and walking in peace. The freedom that comes through His Word. No, Jesus is not saddling you down with another burden. Jesus is not trying to overwhelm you and overbear you. And every time you think you've reached a standard to raise the bar, Jesus is standing at the bar giving you a lift up. Giving you help to get over. Jesus is lifting you up. And there for you. Always and forever. Amen.